which ties it into what has gone before. So as we think about this, we're thinking about living by faith, and living by faith is living differently because of what the Bible says, what we believe, what we know is true, and you know, the Bible should impact every area of our life. It should impact the job and how you do your job. There was a man in our church years ago who was a farmer, but his land was very poor, and eventually he had to give up farming, wasn't making a living at it, and so he went to work in a factory, and being a Christian, he was diligent in his work and doing, you know, working quickly and getting lots of work done, and his co-workers got angry with him chided him. He was making them look bad because he was turning out so much work, so much more than they were, and they didn't appreciate that. But, you know, the Bible says that to employees, that though it's in the context of servants and masters, but that employees are to work not as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. When you go to the job, yes, you serve your employer, and you have a responsibility to him to do the best job that you can for him, but ultimately your boss is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you do your work to satisfy Christ. And you know, your boss might be satisfied with less than Christ would be satisfied with. But your job is to satisfy the Lord and not just men. So that, you know, the Bible impact, living by faith means that when you go to the job, that you do that job as unto the Lord and not unto men. And that's part of living by faith. It impacts the job. It impacts the home and family life. You know, today our society says, you know, that spanking your children is child abuse. And I understand that, you know, it can become that. But the Bible is very clear that he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That is early. You begin when they're very young. Or Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And so, you know, the Word of God impacts how we raise our children and how we live together as a family. It affects how we do church and the things that we do in the house of God. It affects our relationship to people in society. The Word of God should impact every area of our life, and we should be doing what we do in life, in every area of life, because this is what God says in the Bible. And that's what it means to live by faith. It means to let the truth of God's Word change the way that we live day in and day out. And as we've looked at the Hebrews chapter 11 and all these men and women that are mentioned there, they lived by faith. They lived differently. They made choices because of what was true, what they knew to be true, because of what the Bible says. And so, you know, living by faith, it impacts every area of our life. It impacts how we respond to life. We're going to talk about that tonight in our message as we look at Romans 8:28. But what the Bible says impacts how we respond to the changes that are taking place in our life and the things that are going on. And we see that a lot in Hebrews chapter 11 as these individuals faced challenges in life and they responded to those challenges based on the truth of God. And so we're thinking about living by faith, and I want to encourage you that we would all grow in this area of letting the Word of God drive our life and the decisions that we make and living on the basis of the Word of God. But you know, it's not easy. It is very difficult. Matter of fact, the Bible uses many different metaphors to describe living the Christian life, including warfare, boxing, wrestling, and as we see in our passage here in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, running. But you know, those terms all suggest a struggle, a difficulty, a challenge. Athletes have to work hard and it's difficult, and when they are actually engaged in the game or in the wrestling match or the boxing match, it's a fight, it's a tough thing, and they have to work hard. And you know, the Christian life, living the Christian life and living by faith, letting the Bible guide our decisions and drive our life, it's not easy. It's a challenge. If our Christian life is easy, then we're not doing something right. Because it shouldn't be easy. You know, we got this flesh, this old nature. We got saved and God broke the power of our flesh and He broke the power of Satan in our life. And we don't have to yield to the flesh and we don't have to give in to the temptations that the devil would put before us. But we have those challenges. When God says do this, our flesh says no. When God says don't do this, our flesh says yes. And there's a battle with our flesh, and there's a battle with Satan, and he is our enemy, and he wants to destroy us, and he wants us not to live by faith. He doesn't want us to be obedient to the Word of God, and he wants to distract us from that. And so we have that battle with our enemy, the devil, and then our society will ridicule us and marginalize us if we try to live by faith and be obedient to God. And so it is a challenge for us to live by faith, but... And so the writer of Hebrews, as he's winding up this challenge to live by faith, he uses the metaphor of a race to encourage his readers to keep on living by faith. I mean, they're tempted to give up on that life of faith because it is costing them, because society is ridiculing them and persecuting them. And they're saying, you know, if we just would embrace the ideas of our culture, and particularly the idea that you have to keep the law in order to please God and be saved, and if we would just give in to that, then life would be a whole lot easier for us. And the writer of Hebrews is challenging them, don't give up. Don't quit. It is difficult. It's hard. But don't quit. Keep going. And he uses the metaphor of a race to encourage his readers to keep on living by faith. And by the way, it's interesting, the word that is translated race, let us run with patience, verse 1, the race that is set before us, the Greek word is agon. We get our word agony from it. The Greek word doesn't matter, but I just share that with you because we get our word agony from it. Our English language is made up of we borrow words from a lot of different languages, and Greek is one of them, but we get our word agony. Something is an agony. Well, if you've ever run in a race, if you've ever done any long-distance running, you would agree that running is an agony. It is painful. It is hard. It is difficult. And we're to run, the writer of Hebrews says. And that word means to exert oneself. And so, you know, he's even as he wraps all this up, he's reminding them, you know, this is not easy. Living the Christian life, living a life of faith, a life that pleases God is not easy. We understand that. God knows that. And yet He calls us to that kind of life. And so this morning, I want us to consider four truths about living by faith that come from Hebrews 12 and verse 1 and the metaphor of the Christian life as a race. Let's read the verse and then we'll talk about these four things. But he says, wherefore, on the basis of everything he said before, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And let's go ahead and read verse 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. I want you to notice, first of all, that there are encouragements here for us to live by faith. That's the first part of verse 1 where he says, we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, don't understand that to mean that it's like a stadium. And we're down here and we're on the racetrack of that stadium and we're running our part of the race. We're living our life. And then all these people that have gone on before us are sitting up in the stands and they're watching us and they're cheering us on. That's not the idea of being encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That statement is referring back to everything that has been said in chapter 11. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, since we have all these people that I've talked to you about that have witnessed to the fact, they have testified to the fact that you can live by faith, that it is possible, no matter the challenges that you face, you can live by faith, and that is the life that pleases God, and ultimately Though sometimes you're part of the and others, and it's not always immediately a life of blessing and peace, but ultimately it leads to the reward of God and the blessing of God. And yes, it's challenging, but it is worth it, and it can be done. And that's the idea. Matter of fact, if you want to think about it this way, think about it as like the Hall of Fame. If you go to Canton, Ohio, there's a Football Hall of Fame, and you can go up there and you can walk through there and you can look at the pictures and the memorabilia. You can be reminded of all these great men who played football in the past. And if you're a football player, you go up there and you can be inspired and you can say, look what they did. If they did it, I can do it. And many young men have been inspired by the lives of athletes of the past, and they've gone out and they've achieved because they've been encouraged by what they have seen others do in the past. And that's the idea. These people that we talked about in Hebrews chapter 11, they did it. And you can do it as well. And by the way, we have this tendency sometimes when we read the Bible and we read about people like Abraham, or we read about people like David, or we read about people like Paul, and we say, well, of course they did it. I mean, they were special. I'm not a Paul. I mean, obviously, Paul was some great individual. He had things I don't have. Well, you know, the Bible is very clear that all of these individuals that we read about in the Bible, they were all just like us. They're all human. They're all frail. They're all weak. I mean, James writes about that when he's encouraging us about prayer. And he says, Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. But he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. I mean, Elijah, there was nothing special about Elijah. He was a man just like you and I. God answered his prayer. He'll answer your prayer as well. Noah got drunk. Noah built an ark, and he's a man of faith, and he's one of the heroes that's mentioned here. And God is obviously clear that God wasn't pleased with the drunkenness, but I'm just saying that Noah was a man. I mean, he's human, but yet he was a man of faith. Abraham got ahead of God and married Hagar against the will of God. Isaac played favorites with his sons, and there was a price to pay for that. The Bible doesn't say, but there seems to be in Joseph's early life some evidences of pride. Moses got angry and struck the rock. I mean, these are people who are frail just like you and I. They were tempted just like you and I. They didn't always do right, but their heart was to walk with God and be obedient to God. And ultimately, they were faithful and they walked by faith. And so I'm just saying that don't put them on a pedestal and say they're different than me. I mean, they did it, yeah, but I can't do it because I'm not like them. Yes, you are. They're the same as you. And they walk by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so their faith is seen in the fact that when God spoke to them and revealed His will to them, they acted accordingly. They believed God and they did what God said. Sometimes that meant they had to accept His forgiveness when they failed. But they walked with God. They let the Bible, the Word of God, direct their lives. And not only them, but there's a great host of believers from all ages who have lived by faith. And if they can do it, so can we. And it's not us. The same God who enabled them can enable you. And will enable you as you live by faith. And by the way, I would encourage you to read. You need to read the Bible, obviously, and you need to read the stories of the men and women that God has preserved their lives, preserved for us in the Word of God. But read other biographies and of men and women who have walked with God. Read their stories and their testimonies. See the challenges that they face and how they were victorious by faith. Be inspired by them. Be challenged by them. Be taught by them how to live by faith. It's been a blessing to me over the years to read some of these. I've read of the life story of Jim Elliot and Jonathan Goforth and Isabel Kuhn and D.L. Moody and Charles Spurgeon and Hudson Taylor and David Livingston and Adoniram Judson and others. And I have been encouraged and challenged by reading about their walk of faith. And it's helped me. And it will help you. Read their lives. See how God worked in their life. Because again, they're just like you. They weren't special. They weren't super saints. They were just men and women who walked with God. Read their writings and see how God has blessed and used them. Warren Wiersbe wrote a book entitled, So That's What a Christian Is. It's pictures of the Christian life, and one of the chapters in that book is entitled A Runner in the Race. And in that chapter, Wiersbe says this. He says, Christians can encourage one another even after we've been called to glory. And he says, I'm writing these words while seated in my library, surrounded by more than 8,000 books, many of them written by people who have been in heaven for many years. Yet these Christians are still encouraging me. They're like the believers listed in Hebrews chapter 11, a great cloud of witnesses who are bearing witness to the church today that God does honor faith and enable us to win the race. And he goes on to note the word witnesses in Hebrews 12:1 doesn't mean they're watching from heaven. It means that they are bearing witness to us in the Old Testament that it is possible to run the race with endurance and win the prize. So as we've looked at these lives over the last several months and we've talked about how they have walked by faith and the challenges they faced and how they believed God and ultimately were rewarded by God, let their testimony encourage you that you can do as they did. But there's an exclusivity also of living by faith, that we are to run the race that is set before us. You know, in one sense, everyone faces the same challenges in life. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But on the other hand, everyone's life is different with different opportunities and different challenges. You know, God didn't call Abraham to build an ark. That was what he asked Noah to do. And God didn't ask Noah to have a child when he was past age. And Isaac wasn't the one who forsook Egypt. I mean, as you read their life, each one of them had challenges. They all had to live by faith. They all had to face challenges in life where they had to make a decision. Am I going to believe God and go forward? Or am I going to doubt God and not do what He says? But the challenges were different. And it's the same way for us today. There is a race set before you. There is a course that God has set before you. God has your life mapped out. And as you follow God's will for your life, God is going to bring you to face challenges. And your challenges are not going to be exactly the same as other people's challenges. But God is calling you to live by faith in the life of the challenge, God is calling you to live by faith in the face of the challenges that He brings into your life, just like He will with everybody else, regardless of what's happening with them. In other words, you know, sometimes we look at others and say, well, you know, I could do it if I had their life. Or, you know, why do I have to go through my life? It seems like I have these challenges and nobody, the other people don't have these challenges. You know, the reality is, I mean, you think about it. It seems like there are people that just, life is one challenge after another for them. There was a family in our church in Mississippi, and honestly, as I watched them, the things that God was doing in their life, it was one struggle after another. Guy lost his job and had a hard time finding another job. And then when he did find another job, it was about half the salary he had been making before, because their just jobs weren't readily available. And then he ended up in another job, and that job was based on government contracts. And when the contract ended, you know, you're laid off. And then his mother was killed in an automobile accident, and his son developed Crohn's disease. And I mean, it was just one. And there was a storm, and their roof was damaged on their house, and a building out back of their house. All this is happening at this, just one, boom, 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 one after the other. And I thought, my goodness. I mean, I don't know what God was doing in their life. The only thing I could tell him is, you know, God is He's got something for you, because He's sure putting you through the ringer. He's not doing it without reason. But everybody wasn't like that. But God was calling that family to live by faith in the face of their challenges, just like He was calling everybody else to live by faith in the face of their challenges, and they weren't the same. And so, you know, understand that God has a plan for your life. He has mapped it out. And it's going to bring you to times where you're going to be challenged. Are you going to live by faith or not? Are you going to obey God? Are you going to believe God? Are you going to do what God says or not? And you're just going to have to accept that fact. And you're going to have to let God lead you in the challenges that He brings to your life. Life is not fair. And God has never said it was or would be. And your life may be harder or easier than others, but it's your life. It's the life that God has called you to live, and He wants you to live it faithfully. And so there is an exclusivity to this matter of living by faith. But whatever the challenges that God brings in our life, and the good and the bad, God says, follow me. Obey me. Live by faith. But then thirdly, there are these encumbrances to living by faith. We are compassed about with these witnesses who testify that it is possible to live by faith. And there is a course that God has set before each of us that we must run and face the challenges that God gives to us. But if we're going to be successful, we have to lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. To lay aside means to take off or put off, like you would take off a coat. And it's a once-for-all action. God is saying, set these things aside. And the first thing that we're to set aside is a weight. The word literally means a mass, something that is heavy, something that is cumbersome. And in the Christian life, a weight is anything that hinders you from progressing spiritually, anything that keeps you from living by faith and obeying God, anything that's dampening your enthusiasm for God and for the things of God, and anything that's just hindering you in your spiritual life. And it may not be bad in and of itself, but it's bad for you because it is hindering you. And by the way, those weights are not going to be the same for everybody. Something that is a weight in your life may not be in somebody else's life. Because again, we're in the idea of weights, we're talking about things that are not sinful or wrong in and of themselves. They're wrong for you because they hinder you from following God and living by faith. You know, I shared, I think, some time back about D.L. Moody in his day and in the latter years of his life. I think it actually was in the last year of his life. He was preaching a message and talking about temptations, and he was concerned in that day about the bicycle because young people especially were skipping church to go bike riding. They'd take Sunday, and Sunday morning it'd be time for church. And he said he was at one church in Brooklyn, and as he was going in for the service, right across the street was a bicycle club, and they were getting ready to go for a ride out into the country. And he said, you know, many Christians were doing that. Obviously, there's nothing sinful about a bike, and there's nothing wrong with bike riding. And today, that's not really even an issue. But in his day, that was a weight for some people because it was keeping them from obeying God. He was also, in that same message, talking about Sunday newspaper, because he said, you know, Christians read a Sunday newspaper and fill their mind with the world, and it distracts them from focusing on the Lord on Sunday. And he saw that as a weight to people in his day. I've mentioned about Isabel Kuhn, missionary to China back in the early 1900s, and how God took things out of her life, but she gave up reading clean romance novels because for her it took away her desire to read the Bible and pray. It was a weight in her life. And so, you know, there's going to be things in your life that are not sinful in and of themselves. They're perfectly legitimate, but they may become a stumbling block for you because they dampen your enthusiasm for God, and they hinder you from your walk with God, and they keep you from obedience to God. And the writer of Hebrews says, when you see a weight in your life, set it aside. Let it go. And again, it's a once-for-all thing. Just take it off, put it aside, leave it alone, because that's a distraction to you, and you don't need that. Because ultimately, those things that don't matter in this life, they don't matter for eternity. You know, your spiritual life, your Christian life, your obedience to God and living by faith, that has eternal consequences. If you never rode a bike again, it's not going to impact you for eternity. Again, bicycles are not an issue today, I understand that. But just going with the illustration. But so whatever the weight is, you know, if you set it aside and you don't do it anymore, and you just let it go, it's not going to matter for you eternally. But what happens between you and God matters eternally. And we're not talking about not getting into heaven because you disobeyed God. These are writing to believers who are already on their way to heaven. But it impacts your reward. It impacts the blessing of God in your life now. And so you just need to set it aside. And as you try to run the race, As you walk with God in this life, God will show you the things that are hindering you. And you just have to let them go. And by the way, notice he says, lay aside some weights. No, that's not what it says. It says, lay aside every weight. In other words, every time that God shows you something in your life that's hindering you spiritually, you need to set it aside. Every weight. No matter what it is, no matter what others are doing. You say, but everybody else is doing it. It doesn't seem to be bothering them. Doesn't matter. God touches your heart and says, this is a weight in your life, you need to let it go. Let it go. And even if everybody else thinks you're a fanatic or you're crazy or what, let it go. If God touches your life and says, this needs to change, change it. Not only the weights, but also the sin, which easily besets us. Easily besetting is the picture of, back in the Bible times, they wore robes. Well, if you were running a race, you're not going to try and run a race with a robe that's going to wrap around your legs and it's going to trip you up. You know, by the way, think about it this way, too. Weights, they're like something heavy that you're carrying while you're running. That weight is not going to trip you up. It's just going to slow you down. It's going to hinder you from making progress. But the robe will actually trip you up and make you fall. And the writer of Hebrews says, lay aside the weights, but also the sins. The sin that easily makes you fall. The sin, that thing into which you most readily fall. And for each of us, again, there are some things that are more of a struggle than others. For some, it might be alcohol or drugs or lust or gossip or criticism or anger. I mean, what is it that you most struggle with in your life? Lay it aside. Take whatever measures you have to take to be victorious over that sin. We're commanded in the Bible to lay aside lying and sinful anger and stealing, but corrupt conversation, a conversation that doesn't really help build people up, but actually tears them down, or bitterness or wrath or clamor, that is arguing or evil speaking or malice or unforgiveness or covetousness, whatever it is, we're to lay it aside. Romans 13:14 says, put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust, the desires thereof. Lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset you. Set aside, lay aside the things that would hinder you spiritually so that you can live by faith. And then lastly, notice that endurance is essential to live by faith. You have to run with patience. Endurance. The word patience is a word for endurance. Again, the Christian life is not easy. It's compared here not to a sprint, but to a marathon. It's the long distance run. And so you have to endure. It's easy to begin a race if you've ever run a marathon or a long distance race. It is easy to begin, but it's another thing to finish. And there comes a point, if you do long distance running, they talk about getting your second wind. You have to push and push, at least till you get your second wind, and then it's a little bit easier, but you still have to keep pushing. But to finish a race, you just have to keep going and press on and push and keep going. And the writer of Hebrews is challenging believers in his day as we are challenged today, don't quit. Keep running. Matter of fact, run is in the present tense. It means keep on running. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Keep on going. Keep on following God. Keep on living by faith. And when you fall down, get up. When you fall down, you give in to temptation, you sin against God, then get up. Confess that sin to God. Turn from it. Get up. Keep going for God. Don't let the devil discourage you and remind you. You get it. You confess it to God and accept by faith His forgiveness and get up and go on. And don't let it hinder you from moving forward. But you got to keep going. And it takes patience. It takes endurance. The word literally means to remain under a burden. I was reminded of the fact in the parable of the sower, Jesus spoke about people who hear the truth and they joyfully embrace it. But when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, Jesus said, immediately they are offended. Whenever it gets difficult, they hear the word, oh yes, that's great, I want to do that, and they begin to be obedient to the truth that they hear. But it's an emotional decision. It's not a determination. So they begin, and then it gets hard. Persecution or affliction arises. Trouble comes. It's difficult to obey God. You're trying to do right on the job, and your coworkers begin to complain. And you begin to think, well, you know what? If I just cut back a little bit, I'd get along. The coworkers would be happy, and it'd be okay, right? I mean, I got to please them, right? But whenever it gets difficult, Jesus said there are some people that just will. They just give in and they quit. They get offended. They sin. They just give up. When it gets hard, when it's not pleasant, when the trials and troubles come, don't quit. Keep on going forward for the Lord. We all can testify. We've seen Christians quit. Some problem comes up, some difficulty, some trouble, and they just quit. Quit going to church, they quit reading their Bible. They don't lose their salvation, but they just quit on God because they got offended, they got upset, they got bothered, it got hard, and they thought it's supposed to be easy. Nobody, you know, you do right, and everything works out right, and everything's easy, right? No, it's hard. But you don't quit. Run with patience the race that is set before you. And by the way, how do you do that? How do you keep on going when it gets tough? You grit your teeth, right? And you just say, you know what? I made up my mind. Maybe I went to the altar one Sunday and I made a commitment and I said, I'm going to live for the Lord. And I said, Lord, I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep going. And it got getting tough. And so I made that decision and I'm going to honor that. And I'm just going to keep going for God. Is that the way you do it? That's not the way you do it. I mean, there's nothing wrong with coming to the altar or in your home or whatever, but there's nothing wrong with in a prayer making a commitment. Lord, I don't want to quit. I want to keep going for you. But if you're trusting yourself to do that, it won't work. And let me give you an example. One day, Jesus was talking to disciples. He said, I'm going to the cross. And he said, you know what? All you guys are going to deny me. And Peter said, Lord, not me. Peter makes that commitment. Lord, I'm following you. I'm not quitting. I mean, I don't care what happens. I don't care what they do to me. They can kill me, but I'm not quitting. I'm going to follow you, even if it means death. And Peter's whole confidence was in Peter. Lord, I made up my mind. I'm going to follow you, and I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to deny you. Everybody else may, but not me. And then that night came. Oh, he tried to stand. He pulled out his sword, cut off the servant's ear. But when everybody else fled, Peter did too. But then he did, you know, let's give him a little bit of credit. He did end up at Pilate's hall and he stood outside warming himself by the fire. But when somebody said, you were one of his disciples also, three times he denied the Lord, the last time cursing and denying God. It didn't work. Peter said, Lord, I won't quit. I won't deny you. I'll follow you. I'm not giving up. And he did. Because Peter's confidence was in Peter. You can't just make up your mind and succeed. You don't keep up your Bible reading because you just determine, I'm not going to miss a day of reading my Bible. You keep up your Bible reading because you believe that what God says is true, that a man who meditates on the Word of God day and night is a blessed man who will be spiritually fruitful. You keep on, you endure by faith. You endure by saying, you know what, when the going gets hard, but here's what God says. Not just, but I made up my mind, I'm not quitting. No, but here's what God says, and I believe God. And so by the grace of God and with the help of God, as I trust the Word of God, I'm going to go forward. But it's by faith. It comes by faith. I have to keep going back to the Bible and reminding myself of what God says in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit will bring the truth to my mind. When I face those challenges and my flesh says quit and the devil says quit, and I want to quit, I can't just make up my mind not to quit. That might work for a while, but it's not going to work forever. I have to go back and say, but no, this is what God says in the Word. I have to go back to the Bible because the life of faith is a life that is built upon the truth of God's Word. And I cannot stress that enough to us to you and to me that if we want to be successful as far as the Christian life is concerned and what God calls success, if we want to please God, we have to live by faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And living by faith means living on the basis of what God says in the Bible. And it is that that keeps us going. When trouble comes and you're tempted to blame God and quit, it isn't sheer determination that keeps you going. It's belief in Romans 8:28 that we're going to talk about tonight, that this is working for my good. It doesn't feel like it. It's not pleasant. It's not comfortable. But that's what God says. And so I believe it. And I keep going in the face of this trouble and this difficulty. And I'm not going to blame God. God's not doing something bad to me. And I'm not going to quit because I believe this is ultimately for my good. And so I keep going. But it's faith. And faith is built on the Word of God. And that's what keeps us going. When we believe God, we commit our minds and hearts to the Word of God and to the God of the Word, and we keep going because of what God says in His Word. We live by faith. And we remember, as He says in verse 2, we run with patience the race that is set before us as we look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I don't think, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think the writer of Hebrews is just saying, now, you know, I've told you about all these other people and how they endured, but let me tell you about Jesus. Remember Jesus too, He endured. I'm not sure that that's the intent of the writer as he points to Jesus. But I think maybe what he's saying is, listen, you live by faith, but you keep going because remember what Jesus did for you. Remember that Jesus gave His life for you. His love for you is so great. And remember, why are you going to turn your back on Him who sacrificed Himself so that you could have salvation, and now you're talking about walking out on Him after all He has done for you? Now remember what Christ has done for you. And not only the Word of God, but the death of Christ, as He gave His life for you so that you could be saved, so that you could enter into this life of faith. Remember what Christ has done for you. And keep going. So maybe this morning there's some weight that is hindering you spiritually. You know, maybe even today, as you listen to this message and you've thought about it, as we talked about that, and the Holy Spirit touched your heart about something in your life that right now is hindering you, and I would encourage you this morning, lay it aside. As you leave here this morning, you go back to your home or the job or wherever that issue is, you know, whatever it is, just say, Lord, okay, this is hindering me, so I'm just going to give it up. Because I believe that my spiritual life is most important, and this other thing is not that important, and I can give it up. Maybe there's some sin that you're trifling with. You know it's a temptation and you give in, but you're making provision for your flesh to fulfill that desire of the flesh, and you need to make some changes in your life. Lay it aside. And maybe you're tempted right now to quit on the Lord because there's some tough things going on in your life, and you want to blame God. God, this is not fair. Why is this happening to me? And why me and not others? And why? Don't quit. Just believe what God says is true, that it is worth it. And that ultimately, God is working good in your life. And glorify Himself through your life. And just keep on serving God. Keep on going for the Lord. Keep on living by faith. Let's stand for prayer. Father, over these months, we have been challenged and taught and sometimes rebuked about living by faith and letting Your truth drive our lives and dictate the choices and the decisions that we make. And this morning, we've been reminded that just like it wasn't easy for many of those who have lived before us, it's not easy for us. And Lord, for many, the path that You're taking them down is more difficult than for others. And yet, Lord, we know that you promise that where we face challenges in life, that your grace is always sufficient for every challenge that you bring, that you will help us through, that you will strengthen us, you will enable us to live by faith if we'll just look to you and trust you and lean upon your word. And so, Lord, I pray for all of us here today that we can apply this message to our lives, that we'll make choices that we need to make based upon the truths that we've been considering, that we'll live by faith. And Father, there may be one here today who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and today they need to be saved, and they're convicted about it. Your Holy Spirit is dealing with them about that need in their life. We pray that today they would receive Christ as Savior and put their trust in His death on Calvary as the payment for their sins, and receive your forgiveness and the eternal life that you have for them. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen.